I want to share with you in chapter 4, verse 21. I'm in the book of John. And Jesus is speaking to a lady at the well, Samaritan lady at the well. And he says, "Dear woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshiper. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." What Jesus is saying, you know, there was a time that you had to come into the temple. You had to come in to worship God. You had to go to the priest. That only a priest could go before the Father. But time has come, and because of Jesus Christ, that no longer we have to go to a temple. No longer we have to go to a priest in order to reach God. We have to go to God now through Jesus Christ. Amen? He gave us that freedom. Jesus laid down his life to give us the freedom that we can worship God anywhere we go. So if we find ourselves in the attic, we find ourselves in a hayloft, we find ourselves in a basement somewhere, or in a cave somewhere, we can still worship God because of what Jesus Christ did. But because of our veterans of the armed services, we can still worship here in America on Main Street, USA. Amen? And along we support our veterans, lift them up and pray and seek God's face, that will continue. But a time was coming when that's not going to be the issue anymore. A time will be coming when we will be in those caves. We might be in the attics. We might be back in the basements again. But I'm telling you what, wherever we go, God will be with us because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Christ set us free, and we're free indeed. And we're not going back to slavery. We're not going back to any old ways, okay? A time is coming, I'll tell you up front, that there'll be churches open to worship Him, but they'll not be worshiping the true God. A time will come where you can gather in buildings and name the name of God, but it's not going to be Jehovah, Jireh. No, it's not going to be that. It's going to be a man-made God. It's going to be a God that has nothing to do with our forefathers. It's not going to be the God who parted the Red Sea. It's not going to be the God that used Christ to raise up Lazarus. It's going to be a different God, a dead God, a false God, a lying God. But that will be embraced here at one time. But as long as we have breath upon this earth, as long as Christ has left us here one more day, may we continue to fight and lift up the name of Jesus Christ and intercede for one another, that everyone that we know of will have the opportunity to hear the truth of Jesus Christ, that we're not fall into some type of false doctrine, that they won't follow a lie right into the pits of hell. Amen? We are a breathing, spirit-filled army of Christ. And as long as God leaves us here to continue in the fight, man, let those who have breath say amen and continue to follow Jesus. Man, we can't give up. But he's saying that the time is here now. And we've been set free through Jesus. We can worship God anywhere that we go. It is a sacrifice of Jesus that set us free. We don't need the priest anymore. God will hear us wherever we go. But thanks be to God for His hand that is upon our nation today, and His hand upon our military that secure our borders from a hostile takeover, and for the desire to stop us from worshiping the one and true living God. Thank you, God, so much. Because of our nation being founded on the principles that God gave us, or should I say the commandments that God gave us, His creation to live by, we can be self-governed. Now, we're given the right to pick who we want and how we want to live. Because of that, we have the right, oh man, that we can decide how we're going to govern ourselves here in America. We just exercised that. Was last Tuesday was election day. We went in there, we cast our votes, and voted how we want to be governed here in the United States of America. God gave us a lot of good choices this time. We had candidates on both sides, Christians that were running for office. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. There is hope for this country. There's hope for this land. That men and women of faith who are born again are placing their hands, they're stepping to the arena for God to use them to govern this land. And for many of us went out and we supported that this past week. Praise be to God. As long as we give God the voice, He'll continue to speak to us. But the minute we allow Him to be silenced in our own lives, there'll be a silence in this country. Thanks to the veterans who uphold our Constitution and protect us from our enemies, we can live free in these United States of America. Now we owe it to our veterans to elect men and women who are governing this great land by the word of our forming father. That's God, Jehovah. You know, our physical fathers were the framing fathers, but our God in heaven was a forming father, that He formed us in His image, and He formed the United States. He called upon men and women to use His words to make the United States. And we are free. But just as we are dependent upon our military personnel today, they are just as dependent upon us. Exodus chapter 17. We'll go there a little bit this morning. What's that, hon? Second book of the Bible. If you go on from the beginning. If you go on from the end, it's the 65th book of the Bible. I'm going to share this with you this morning just for a few minutes. And probably some of the other names, honey, we'll get to next week, probably. I'm going to show you two illustrations in chapter 17. And start in verse 1. He says, "Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the command of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink." So they're following God, they turn away from their sin, they're following God, now they're camping, and there's no water, nothing to drink. "Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?'" And right away they're following God. God is with them. God separated them, set them free. And a moment, as soon as there's nothing there to drink that they don't see, they start fighting among themselves, they start quarreling. And how quickly they forgot who brought them there. How quickly they forgot that they were in captivity at one time. But God had set them free. You know, does that sound familiar nowadays at times? God sets us free, He lifts us up, and the minute we find something that isn't to our liking, instead of going to God about it, we start quarreling among ourselves. Start blaming people. Hey, it's the preacher's fault. It has to be. Or it's Daryl's fault. You know, right away we start quarreling among ourselves. "But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, 'Why, now have you brought us from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?'" Now think of this again. May it speak to you this morning. Being in captivity, as they called upon the name of the Lord, as they repented as a people, invited God back into their lives, and He heard their prayers. He raised up Moses to lead them. He set them free from bondage, from years and years of captivity. Part of the Red Sea. And now they're thinking, well, God just did this to take us out here in the middle of the wilderness and kill us. Is that the God that we know? Is that the God of love? Is that the God who looks down upon His children? No, it is not. But how quickly Satan will get in there and start taking away from your memory what God has already established in you. Every one of us here has came from somewhere. We journeyed also. We journeyed from the wilderness. We went from captivity, set free into the wilderness. And if we still follow God, He's going to bring us through the wilderness. Let us not find our own hearts doing the same thing. That things aren't the way that we want it, and we start turning our backs on God. God has a plan and purpose for every one of us. Amen? He has a place and a desire where He wants us to be at. And the only way we're going to get there is with Him. The enemy will come. He will come and challenge us from time to time. But that does not take away from the Word of God. It does not take away what God wants to do for us and through us. And we have to continue to allow His Word to be number one in our life and do as He says. It will turn out all right for us. He is our protector. He is our guidance. It will turn out. Don't let the enemy scare you from the walk he puts you on. So Moses then, as they say, "Oh, we're thirsty. You're going to kill our livestock and stuff." And Moses cried out to the Lord saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me." He said, "Man, God, again, these are your people. You told me to lead them out. And man, they keep going on. They're going to stone me. They're going to kill me. What do you want me to do?" See, Moses was wise. Did he join in with the people and start complaining? "I don't know what you're going to do, Joe. God, He brought us out. He part of the Red Sea. He brought us through here. He gave us manna to eat and quail to eat. Oh, He's going to kill us. He's going to die. He's going to kill us. Moses didn't do that. Moses was going to turn right back to the one who brought him out. He's going to turn back to God. He's going to seek the one that has his hand upon him. Moses still remember when he took his hand and put it inside his coat and came out, and it was leprosy. Then he put it back in. That was in Exodus before they left. That was one of the signs that God gave him to show the people he was chosen by God. He remembered the rod that was thrown down, that turned into a snake that ate up the Pharaoh's magician snakes. He recalled that. So instead of sitting around and sort of see who can complain the most and grumble the most, saying, "Hey, there's no McDonald's here," then the Lord said to Moses, "Pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff which you struck the Nile, and go. Take the same staff that you touched the Nile and it turned into blood, and go. Go through the people, take some of your elders with you, and follow me. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Oreb, and you shall strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." He did that in the sight of witnesses. Okay? Now, ask you this for a moment yourself. Let's say you're entertaining at your house tonight. We're over at Opal's having some peanut butter pie. Okay, Opal? You're entertaining us tonight. And that pie is delicious, but man, I'm kind of parched. Hey, Opal, can I have a cup of coffee? You go, coffee? Yeah, I want some coffee. I don't see any coffee anywhere. And Opal looks at me and says, I want some coffee now. Did you feed me peanut butter pie of the day, and you let me choke? You get stuck in my throat. Are you going to give me coffee or what? Well, I should have just stayed home and just stayed home and ate crackers. How many of us would say, "Well, hang on a second, Starkey. Let me check and try to find some coffee in my cupboard."
I'd take the pie away from you.
You'd take the pie away from me, and you would throw me out of the house, would you not? Would we not say, "You ungrateful bunch of people, get out of my house"? But we see here that God didn't do this. Moses didn't do this. They get ready to stone Moses, he thought even, and they complain and oh. But instead of saying, "Go ahead and thirst death," he continued, okay. He understood that people are people, and sometimes they make mistakes, and sometimes they say stuff they shouldn't say. And they know that in time, that when we get our senses back, that we'll apologize to one another. And folks, the same way today in our lives today, maybe someone has come against you. Maybe something went differently in your life or their life, and it caused a big conflict in your lives right now. Folks, don't let it fester. Don't let it boil. Bring it to a resolution, okay? Everyone in here can say amen to that one time or another. You open your mouth up and you said something you should have never said. Amen? Amen? We all have done that, okay? So if you've done it yourself, brother, amen. Steve Weekly got both hands and two feet back there. You know what I'm saying? But we've all been there. We've all done that. So if we can do it ourselves, cannot the ones beside you do the same thing? And can they not, a minute later, an hour later, a day later, may regret what they said? And when they come to you saying, "Oh, Gail," I'm saying, "Get out of here! Gail, get out of here!" No. We have to receive back. Yes, come on. Me and my wife, we argue once in a while. You know that? We do. We're married. Like, you know, but man,
we get along once in a while. Well.
But how awesome it is. I know the minute I open my mouth up at times, I said this before, I should never have said that. But there's going to be that little time period that, okay. But man, I'm telling you, when we come back together, I say, "Honey, I'm sorry. Man, is that thing that is making it stronger. It's the same way your relationship you have with one another. When we find ourselves on the opposite, and people offend you or hurt you, and because of yelling and screaming, man. Be prepared to receive their forgiveness when they come and ask for it. And I say even do one better. Go to them. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, "Well, it wasn't my fault." Well, praise God. You're the bigger person. We just read that Jesus is blessed with the peacemakers. Yeah. Go to them and say, "Listen, things are out of hand. I'm not even sure what we're arguing about. Let's pray. And Father, help us continue on in our relationship with you and each other." And man, God will do that to us. You know, too many times we're ready to stone one another. And I think if we stone one another, none of us be here, would we? Amen? We have to recognize that we're only humans. It'd be one person left here, yeah. Well, don't talk about me, brother. You know what I'm saying? No. Okay, verse 6. "And the people made drink, and Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he named the place Massah and Meribah," because pretty good. No, thank you, huh? because of the quarrels of the sons of Israel, because they test the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? So he named it with the meaning that talks about the quarrelsome and how the people challenge God. Is he here or not? That way, when people pass through, they remember that God is with them, that the quarreling did no good, that God didn't turn his back on them, and they were reminded always to praise him and give him the glory and depend upon him. Okay? You know, today we might name it, an English word would be the
arguing and strife.
Rock, yeah. That's the rock of arguing and strife. What's that mean? Well, they got mad at God and argued among themselves. They're going to stone Moses. But you know what? All they had to do was say, God, give us drink. And he did. Then the Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. Okay, this is the enemies coming against Israel. They're coming to fight now. They got their belly full of water. They're strengthened. Now their enemies coming towards them. So Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against our enemy. Tomorrow I will station myself on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Moses is commissioning Joshua to go out. Now you're going to defend this country. You're going out and defend us today. You're going out there. And when you do that, I'm telling you what, I'm going on top of the hill with my staff, and I'll be with God. And I'll hold that in my hand, and you go to battle. You go and fight. So Joshua did as Moses told him. Wow. Joshua did as a man of God told him. Joshua did not argue with Moses. Joshua did not try to change what the man of God told him to do. Because Moses was giving to him what God had told him. Amen?
Yes.
How foolish it would be to argue with God. How foolish would it be trying to change what God said in order to maybe just make yourself feel better? You know, Joshua could have said that. Joshua said, well, why me? Why do I have to go out there and fight? Why can't I be with you up there on the hillside? Why can't I sit there with you and I'll pray? Let Daryl go out there. You know, we don't care much for Daryl anyway. We lose him, we won't care too much, you know. You know, but we would do that. We would, if... Well, you guys here are awesome, because most of you guys do anything that need to be done here. But sometimes we'd be saying, Dolores, go back here and clean the toilets, will you, hon? They really need cleaning. Why should I clean the toilets? I never use them here at the church anyway. Yeah. Let your wife clean them. She's in there all the time. But when you're willing to clean the toilets, you're willing to do anything for God. And that's what I see here in Joshua. I didn't see no argument, no coming against Moses. He listened to what God had spoken through Moses, and Joshua did. And Joshua did as Moses told him, and fought against Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So they're on top of the hill, overlooking the battle. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. So one second, let's say, everybody hold your hands up for a second, if you can, okay? How long can you keep your hands up, I wonder? You know, some of us maybe a couple of minutes, other ones, I'll be a feast in 30 minutes. But just think right now, if I'm Joshua, I'm out here fighting, and as long as you keep your hands up, and what you're doing, you're praising God. As long as you keep your hands up, I'm going to win. But the minute you put your arms down, if you're getting tired, guys. But the minute you let your arms down, boom, 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 I'm going to get thumped. How long can you keep your arms up? Remember this. If I get thumped, you're going to get thumped. Okay? I'm on the battle line. I'm out here. I'm Joshua. I'm going against the enemy. I'm there to protect you. I am there to take him out. I've been commissioned by Moses to do this. Now, Moses is doing his part. Mm-hmm. Amen? It wasn't, hey, Joshua, get out there and kick some butt today. I'm going to be watching the Ohio State game. No. He sent Joshua out and the army out to go against the enemy. Then Moses did what he was called to do. Stand there with the arm lifted up, praising Jehovah, praising God. And as long as the arm of his was prevailed, as long as he had them up, man, Joshua was winning. The enemy was being defeated. But the minute he started getting tiring, and his arm started going down, Oh, Joshua started losing. Can you imagine Moses? I mean, how often would he try to go, trying to get that arm back up again because he knows it needs to be up. Well, beside him is his brother. So it came about when Moses held his hand up, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him. Come here, Daryl. Can I borrow you a second? Brother Joe, can I borrow you a second? I want you to grab me a stone. Grab me that chair there, brother, okay? Now, I'm holding my hands up. Man, I'm getting tired. I'm getting weak. My hands have to be up, praising God, okay? He didn't say I had to be standing. My arms have to be lifted. So, man, I'm getting weary. So, Brother Daryl sees that. So, bring the chair over, brother. I'm going to sit on it.
Oh.
Okay. Well, I could sit on it there, but my hands really be up, man. But, okay, I'm tired. I'm sitting there. Oh, my. Oh, but look here. I'm still getting weak. So what did they do? They came over and grabbed my arm. Joe, grab my right arm. Grab my left arm. Now raise me up. Now look at that. Look at that. It took more than just Moses to give strength to the army. It took the men themselves, godly men, standing beside each other, helping lift up the arms of Moses in order for God to prevail in this war that they had. And his arms stayed up. Joshua was strengthened, and Joshua, the army, would win the war. Not just because of Moses, but because of the people. Because of those beside him here. And folks, the way it is today, it's not a one person's war. It's our war against the evil. It's not just the pastor's war, or Billy Graham's war, or Gail's war, or Carol's war. It's us standing together. Look at holding up. I'm getting tired, but they're holding me up. Man, hold me up. Hold me up. Look at that. I'm about dead. I can't do nothing. But look what I need you to do. God called me to lead, but I need you guys to strengthen me.
Yes.
And when you do that, what God wants done will take place. But let go of my arm a second. Let go, Joe. Daryl. Then back in the crowd, you hear, that old pastor ain't like he used to be. I remember 10 years ago, boy, he'd jump across these tables and chairs. Boy, he'd just be stirring things. He'd be on fire. But anymore, I think it might be time to get a different pastor, maybe. He just wore out. But listen to what the churches say at times, okay? Sometimes churches come together for entertainment. But we don't. We come together because we're fighting a war. And when you see the pastor, or you see the elder, or even in your own home, when you see the lead getting weak, come over and say, listen, let me help lighten the load. Let me do my part. So here, Daryl, grab my arm again. He raises up. Oh, I'm getting stronger. Joe, see that? Come here, Joe, grab my arm again. Look at that. Because of coming alongside, we have strength again. Okay? It's not Starkey. Okay? It's the body of Christ.
Yes.
Amen? Remember that. Don't fall in love with me. Fall in love with Christ.
Yes.
He'll never forsake you or leave you. Okay? I could be taken home someday for my reward. But as Christ, He will never leave you. But we got to remember to hold each other arms. If something happens next Sunday, and I'm not here for some reason, someone in this congregation will raise up. I'll come forward. It's okay. Listen, we're going to praise God this morning. Starkey's not here. I'm not sure where he's at today. Maybe I'm in Hawaii or someplace. But the thing of it is, I'll say that now. Yeah, you're there. But the thing of it is, this is about Jesus Christ. It's about glorifying Him and for us to step in. Now, well, we have to watch ourselves. George, I don't know why God laid it on my heart this morning. Do not allow pride to get in your way of God. Now, this is how this would work. For some reason, this pulpit was absent. I'm not what. And come here, Bob Donnelly. Come here, Bob. People said, what are we going to do this morning? What are we going to do this morning? You know, man, the pastor's already there. I don't know. Anybody know any good jokes, you know? Or, you know? And Bob said, hey, listen, guys. I'll help you out. So Bob comes up. Bob comes up and says, guys, listen, we're going to do this thing. I'll read from the book. We're going to have testimonies today. And Bob comes up front and says, I'll do what I can. And we're sitting back here going, Who do you think he is? I mean, he's been, I've been to church twice as long as Bob has. He's going to come and see me. But see what has happened? I might have been in the church here twice as long as Bob, but did I ever mention, did I get up? Did I say I'm going to do something here?
Nope, you sat on your...
I sat on my rear end there. And probably in my heart, I'm saying, good, we'll get the Wendy's earlier this week, you know, short service. Yeah. But see, what we need to do is encourage one another. And if Bob was standing up to come forward, that means the Holy Spirit had moved upon him to come forward. And we want to do is recognize that. So thank you, God, that you raised one of them among us to help us today. But too many times so quickly we want to turn on one another. We want to downgrade other people to make ourselves feel better. Because maybe inside of our hearts we think, I should have did something too. Amen? But as he would come forward then, be no different. You're here to help him. To strengthen him. Because he would come forward for the word of God to you. It's to strengthen you. As you pray for him, he prays for you, and we're strengthened. You know, no one knows what tomorrow holds. I want you to understand that. We don't know. You know, we know who holds it, right? God's there. But we have to be prepared for anything. And we have to be gelled together as a body of Christ. No strife among ourselves. Don't let pride get in the way. Any of that. We can't. And I pray I don't have any favoritism in the church. I pray you don't sit there and say, well, he's always picking on Joe. Why ain't he picking on me? Folks, I will pick on you. Come to me. Sit in Joe. He's my line of vision a lot, you know, and stuff. But we are in this thing together. But as we hold together, brother, as I lift your arms up, man, as you seek the Lord and you praise God, I hold your arms up, we'll win this battle. But I put your arm down and you start raising your arm up, Bob. Raise it up. And I said, oh, you know, I'm his brother in Christ. Look at me, guys. Look at me. Very good. Very good. Thank you, Bob. Thanks, guys.
He had his arm up.
So, that was good, Bob. I'll never pick on him again. But I'm going to go back to our word again here. It says, when Moses' hands were heavy, then they took a stone, verse 12 of chapter 17, and they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. Wow, we'll go through this with you. You know, folks, I believe we can take this down on a real small scale and even take it to your families. Man, sometimes there are struggles in families. There are, you know, and we are here to help one another through family ordeals. Amen? It is, hey, Pastor, I am beat up. I need to hold my arms up today. I need to hold my arms up today. I'm going to keep God lifted up in my life. I don't care what comes against me. I just need to help right now. Speak some life into me. And that word of God will lift your arms up, and we'll just pray, and we'll just strengthen one another, and we'll go through this thing together. Amen? God is not a God that changes. And what this big, you know, we're seeing millions in my eyeballs. I'm seeing Joshua and a million soldiers going against their enemy. But in the household, it could be yourself going against the enemy. And you get tired, you get wore out, you're about ready to give up. You think, man, duty almost be better be in prison. At least I'd be fed. At least I'd be quiet. I'm sick and tired of arguing all the time. I'm sick and tired of trying to share the love of God in my house. And I'm sick and tired of always getting beat up. I'm always a bad guy, Joe. It's always me. If you just shut your mouth, let me do what I want to do. But you know what? There's something inside of us, as a born-again Christian, we know that one day or one hour, one more time, we're going to have victory over the enemy. And folks, our children's not our enemies. And ladies, your husband is not your enemy either, okay? And the husband's not your wife. Satan, he's the deceiver. He's the one that comes and tries to kill, steal, and destroy. We have to remember that when we pray against him, not our loved ones. We pray against what's controlling them. And folks, there's times that we might need to hold each other up. We might need to encourage one another. How many battles does Joshua fight on there? Or Moses? And Moses was how Joshua, you know, let's take for a second, let's be modernized. Joshua's got a cell phone, and Moses got one. And Joshua's out there and say, hey, Moses, man, I'm getting whooped. Oh, can we make it? Can I make it through this thing today? And Moses said, hang in there, man. I've been here before with God. Well, I've been here before. Not this fight here, but I fought before, and God's going to prevail. Just keep them arms up, just praising God. You let God go first. Lift your banner up. Joshua, you'll make it. You'll make it. Just hang in there. Keep going. Keep going. Keep praising. Keep naming the name of Christ. Woo! And we got victory. We got victory. But Joshua wasn't afraid to call upon the leader and say, man, we're going to make it. And Christ is our leader. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Time and time again, we have victories through Him. But folks, we all need to be encouraged from time to time. Oh my gosh. I wrestled in high school a few times. Well, I was wrestled with in high school a few times. I smelt some pretty bad armpits in my days. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But with Durkin and Weakland, my head come out. And I learned really quick what them armpits smelled like. And I kept maneuvering myself away from getting them armpits in my face. But when you're a freshman wrestling senior, do you smell some armpits? But I learned really quick the moves I need to do in order to keep from being taken captive. And folks, we the same way here. Jesus Christ is that move. And when you moved your life in the realm of Jesus Christ, you're in the protection of Him. He never said we wouldn't be wrestling. He never said that it wouldn't get ugly at times. But He said He will prevail. Our enemy is Satan, not our loved ones. And that's who we need to warrior against. And that's what we need to come against, what we need to pray against. We already had the victim. I'll close with this morning. I'm going to finish the verse out. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek. Is that right, teacher?
Amalek
and his people with the edge of the sword. The edge of the sword, cut them down. And what is the sword of a Christian walk?
Word.
The Word of God is our sword. As we speak it out, it's slashing back and forth. As we speak, listen. May this help somebody this morning. This book here can do nothing by itself. Understand that. It can do nothing by itself. But when you open it up and you find the Word of God and you speak it out, you are taking that sword of the Word and you're using it. The sword that Joshua had, if he kept it in his sheath, it had done no good at all. He'd been defeated. But when he pulled it out, shoom, it was the glory of God behind him. With men praising God, he took that sword and he defeated the enemy. As we take our sword and we speak those words out, you find the promises that pertain to your circumstances you have, and you speak it out, that me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. You speak that out, I'm telling you what, demons of hell is going to tremble.
Hallelujah.
As you speak it out, that is your weapon. Find what's coming against your household, what's coming against you personally. Find the promises God has, and you grab a hold of that, and you speak it out, and you say, not in my house. I shall serve the Lord. Greater He that's in me than He is in the world. I don't care what you say. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I've been bought by the price. I am the head and I am not the tail.
That's right.
I will not be used or abused no more. I am nobody's doormat. I'm a child of God, heir to the throne.
Yes.
I've been born again. I've been born again. And draw that line. Draw that line. And folks, in this battle, if you need help, call a brother and sister. Lift my arms up today. Lift me up. See, I'm tired of smiling armpits. I want the victory. I want the victory. And verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven, or your enemy. And Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. He built an altar. And he's going to remember it. And I really suggest with this, guys, as we go through our battles in life and get victory after victory, you do yourself good to write it down. Write it in a journal. Victories are small victories. Write it down. That way when you enter another battle and Satan comes upon your mind and says, oh, you ain't going to win this one. You go back to a God who never changes. Well, He brought me through this battle. He brought me through that battle. it will encourage you to continue on, and you will have the victory. Amen. Amen.